the 12 Dysfunctional Personal Productivity Personalities by Laura Stack, the Productivity Pro. Everyone has a productivity personality. It's the collection of strengths, weaknesses, and day-to-day habits that come together to determine how a person works best. Now, I've often talked about how important it is to get a handle on your own personal productivity personality, but it's important that you don't stop there. After all, most of us depend on others at some point in our day, and the individual work styles and attitudes of those around us can have a huge impact on our own ability to get things done. That's why I put together this list of 12 dysfunctional productivity personalities. Hopefully, this list will not only help you smile the next time a coworker's bad habits start to drive you up the wall, but I've also given you some thoughts on how to deal with each of these pesky personalities. So here they are in no particular order. Dysfunctional personality number one, scrappers. The scrapper's desk looks like a modern art exhibit covered in scraps of paper and sticky notes. They write important notes on whatever is close at hand, whether it's a fast food receipt or the back of an envelope. A scrapper's favorite is writing on their hand or the back of a business card. To handle the scrapper, you can't force them to adopt a comprehensive planning system or try to put all those little scraps of paper into Outlook or a BlackBerry, although you could try to coach them. But what you can do is make sure that items pertaining to your work don't get lost in the shuffle. Send follow-up emails in writing, documenting key meeting takeaways, check in before important deadlines, and never fail to follow up on a delegated task so your work doesn't get lost in the scraps. Dysfunctional personality two, pilers. Now, pilers have a lot in common with scrappers, except it's generally much more difficult to navigate your way through a piler's office. Instead of sticky notes everywhere, they keep everything and file nothing. There will be boxes on the floor, and every inch of desk space will be occupied by stacks of paper, generally piled up to the point that an archaeologist could use them to figure out what the piler has been working on for the last 5 years. To handle the piler, the best thing you can do is simple. Don't add anything to their piles. Chances are that any document, book, or report that you put in the piler's hands is going to end up in a heap someplace where it is probably as good as gone. Never hand over your only hard copy to a piler unless you are ready to kiss it goodbye. Also, be sure to set clear deadlines. Their idea of giving something a high priority is placing it on their generally largest immediate attention stack. Don't ask them to do something right away. Ask them to do it by a specific date. Dysfunctional personality profile number three, multitaskers. These people always have 1,000 things going on at once. They are busy, 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 and generally take pride in it. They flit about from task to task, getting many things started, but few things completed. They often appear frazzled, overwhelmed, and scattered, and will complain to you about how very, very busy they are. To handle the multitasker, always use caution. He or she will rarely admit that they don't have the capacity to take on yet another task and become easily distracted by shiny things or competing priorities. Always double check very directly with multitaskers to make sure that they can and will do what is expected in an agreed upon time frame. You must have solid deadlines. Dysfunctional personality number four, interrupters. Got a minute? Got a minute? Got a minute? It's practically the interrupter's catchphrase. They will constantly show up at your desk, interrupting your day and derailing your train of thought. Their interruptions are sometimes trivial and sometimes relevant, but almost always ill-timed. To handle the interrupter, you have to be honest. If someone asks you if you have a minute, don't be afraid to tell them you don't. The more cautiously you guard your own time, the more interrupters will begin thinking twice before asking for it needlessly. A polite response to an interruption is to simply point out that, no, you don't have any time right now, but would be happy to meet later in the day if needed. Beyond that, a simple do not disturb sign can go a long way. Just don't abuse it. Dysfunctional personality number 5, procrastinators. Some people seem clinically incapable of doing anything before the last possible minute. They start things with just enough time to squeeze them in before the deadline. You'll also notice that procrastinators tend to put off high value, often challenging tasks in favor of more pleasant, less critical ones. Handling the procrastinator means not letting that person drag your project team down. The best way to get out ahead of a procrastinator is to plan in advance and evaluate results on an ongoing basis with milestones, not just when the work is done. If your procrastinator is expected to deliver a weekly progress report, they'll be more likely to stay on track. Of course, you should probably steer clear immediately before your meeting because that will be crunch time. Dysfunctional personal productivity personality number 6. Socializers. Socializers waste inordinate amounts of time chatting with coworkers and keeping up with the personal lives of everyone at the office. They're great at planning the company party, but tend to fall short in other ways. To handle a socializer, recognize that they do what they do because they get something out of it. Interaction, stress relief, distraction from work, whatever. If you don't have anything along those lines to offer, they'll lose interest in you pretty quickly. You just need to not play along. If you're in the habit of nodding your head and smiling while others talk your ear off, you are part of the problem. Politely point out that you are trying to keep your day on track and you need to get back to what you are doing. Be firm. Don't make excuses. Say what you need to say and then be quiet. Look at them with a polite smile and wait till they walk away. Dysfunctional productivity personality, number 7. Meeting addicts. Some people just love meetings, apparently because they call them all the time. Maybe they really enjoy the setting and the interaction, or they like the food, or maybe it has honestly never occurred to them that it's possible to get things done without putting half the department around a conference table. Either way, the result is a lot of time wasted by everyone involved. Handling a meeting addict, first of all, don't be afraid to decline a meeting when it's appropriate to do so. Simply state you don't feel your presence is needed and ask that you be kept in the loop on the minutes or any important outcomes that might affect your work. Second, don't be afraid to suggest an alternative to a meeting, like having everybody provide their input via email and one person summarize that to the group. When you get the request, call the organizer to ask if the matter could be handled by an email or conference call. In fact, you might be able to resolve the issue on the spot and save everyone a lot of time and disruption. Crisis creators, we've all been there. A lack of planning by one person leads to a crisis for everyone else. Even minor issues are exaggerated into full-blown disaster, and everyone involved ends up feeling stressed and drained as a result. Crisis creators seem to always be fighting fires, and coworkers are often dragged into the fray. To handle the crisis creator, unfortunately, we often have to step in and help fight fires, even if they aren't our fault. If a certain individual is constantly working in crisis mode, it's important that you don't play into the drama. Keep a cool head and don't get overly stressed. Once the crisis is resolved, insist on a debriefing meeting to figure out what went wrong. Not to blame, but to figure out how to avoid it in the past. Once crisis creators realize that problems aren't going to be forgotten once the crisis is over, they'll be more inclined to stay out of trouble in the first place and to stop crying that the sky is falling. Dysfunctional personality 9, emailers. They send an email for anything. I'm not kidding, 300 a day. It doesn't matter how simple or how complicated an issue is, an email message is always the answer. Dash one off, dash one off, dash one off. They never use the phone, they never walk across the hall to deliver a 10-word message, and they love the reply to all button. Handling an emailer Usually you won't have much luck influencing the email habits of a colleague, although you can specifically request the recipients do not reply to all, but only reply to you directly, and you will compile the results to the group. What you can do is set clear expectations concerning your own use of email. If you only check your messages a few times each day, tell people that so they don't expect you to treat Outlook like an instant messaging service, even though they do. People are generally pragmatic about things, and if email is not a good way to get a response from you, they'll stop using it for everything. Dysfunctional personality 10, pack rats. Pack rats have never thrown anything away in their entire professional lives. They have everything for the last 25 years. They don't worry about the company's records retention policy because they retain everything. They're basically the librarian. They are often overwhelmed by their own treasure trove of obsolete documents and projects, but it will come in handy if you ever need to look at a final report that project that was canceled in 1986. To handle the pack rat, they are often highly organized creatures. Interestingly enough, if you look at their piles, they can usually find a document from 10 years ago, but they're often more worried about the thickness of their project files than they are about what's inside. Never trust a pack rat to manage priorities or to take away the key points from any given interaction. Be direct about what you need from them so you don't end up with a ton of unnecessary research or extraneous background information. Just the facts, please. Personality profile 11, perfectionists. By insisting on doing everything perfectly, perfectionists generally fail to accomplish much at all. They can never finish because, well, it can always be better. They work hard, but complete little. Perfectionists keep meticulous meeting notes, promise the world during planning sessions, and often seem to crack up just as the project is coming together. To handle a perfectionist, it's a good idea to plan for frequent touch points throughout the project. Rather than expecting to reconvene at the end, schedule several sync-up meetings along the way. Define your level of expectations and the exact deliverable. This will help keep the perfectionist working in manageable, although imperfect, chunks, and also gives the person a chance to dazzle you with little mini presentations throughout the projects. Perfectionists just love that. Dysfunctional personality, our final one, number 12, workaholics. The workaholic puts in an 80-hour week and never misses an opportunity to remind you of it. Puzzling, though, is the fact that they seem to accomplish less than others working half the hours. The workaholic typically has no boundaries between work and home life. To handle a workaholic, remember that the end of the day does not mean 5 o'clock. It can mean before tomorrow. So when you're expecting something from a workaholic, keep in mind that you will likely see an email roll in at 10:45 p.m. or 3 o'clock a.m., and remember that there's no sense of urgency to a workaholic. Since they plan to be working all hours anyway, they tend to waste time during normal business hours. You can subtly nudge them in your direction by saying things like, "I need to have that by 3 o'clock so I can be out the door on time tonight." Well, I have no doubt that at least a few of these 12 dysfunctional productivity personalities will hopefully have you smiling and thinking of someone you work with or know. But also keep in mind that each of us has a little of one or more of these personalities in us as well. So we work to deal better with our chronically troublesome coworkers. We should also be willing to improve on our own little areas of personal dysfunction. Now that's productivity improvement. Make it a productive day. Copyright 2010, Laura Stack, all rights reserved. For more information, go to theproductivitypro.com.